Welcome to the Well Podcast, a safe place to find health and wholeness for your body, mind, and heart. My name is Kari Davis, growing up a pastor's daughter, being widowed at 38 with three little kids, being betrayed by those close to me, and now blending my family with a man that made my heart come back to life. I know that life can change and get derailed, but come to The Well, our online wellness collaborative where you will find restoration through wellness, inner healing, faith, and freedom. In the Bible, the woman at the well went for water, but when Jesus showed up with truth and healing, she got living water. So grab your bucket, a cup will not do, and join me at the well. It's time to refill, reset, and restore. Welcome back to the podcast. We have a really, really special treat for you guys today. I have a new friend. Her name is Carla Argis. She is with the Affirming Truths podcast, which you'll recognize that word. My podcast listeners will recognize that because that's what I call affirmations. And Carla has an amazing podcast that you'll hear about today. But she also does a lot of telling her own story of mental health. And since this is Mental Health Awareness Month, I'm really excited to have this conversation with Carla. I have had a lot of mental health issues in my family. My grandmother committed suicide when I was in fourth grade. I've shared that on the podcast. And just depression runs rampant and bipolar. And I still have a lot of questions. And so I'm so excited to have Carla on today. And I know that God will be glorified in everything that she says. So Carla, thank you so much for being on today.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor.
Isn't it funny that, I mean, you use like who you say I am. That's a name that I talk about all the time with identity.
Yes.
We are not who we say we are, but we are who God says we are. You talk about reclaiming your identity. That's another one of the things that I talk about the most, and then affirming truth. So where did you come up with the name?
Well, you know, it really has been this whole journey with mental illness. My mental illness wants to claim me as its own. It wants to speak lies over me. And so part of my comeback from, you know, just surviving under the weight of mental illness to thriving with mental illness had to do with reclaiming my identity in Christ. And really looking and affirming in my life the truth of what my Heavenly Father says about me. So that's where that came to be. And I went through this whole series of searching the Bible for truth. What is the truth that God says about me? I was so desperate to get rooted in that truth and then to live out the plan and purpose He had. Because Jeremiah 29:11, I knew had to be for me too. Despite my bipolar, despite my borderline, there is a hope and a future for me. And I just decided that I was going to dig into the word, do the work, and then speak affirming truths over my life. And that's what I did. And then I got prompted by the Holy Spirit to start sharing them. And I shared them as a deck of biblically based affirmation cards that people can get. And then the podcast and just beautiful conversations with other people like you.
Yeah. Well, I figured, you know, as soon as I had seen you, we're in some different podcast groups and I had seen something of yours before, and I couldn't believe it when I saw the name, because for me, I don't even know where I came up with that word. It's not like I made it up, but I was just really confronted with so much of the world saying, this is my truth, or, well, that's not my truth. That might be your truth, but it's not my truth. And it's so comforting to have a litmus test, a plumb line of God's truth, that it is not changing. It is not dependent on your mental health status. It is, yes, always true. And so I love that you use that. So if you don't mind, I would love to just educate people. I know in my own family, not knowing certain diagnosis, not getting proper doctors, proper medication has just really been a struggle. So if you don't mind us prying into your life a little bit, can you just tell us your story, kind of maybe where it began and how you got to the place you are today.
Yeah, and
it's your whole life.
You know, it's a journey. It's a journey I'm still on, but it started really in my youth. My first real wake-up call that my mental health was suffering came with a suicide attempt when I was 13. Mm-hmm. And I have some childhood trauma in my past. I was homeless by the time I was 14, and I was depressed and I was broken and I was lonely and I was disenchanted with who God was and couldn't understand how my life was shaping up to be the way it was if God loved me. So I had this real anger at God for a while as a teenager, and it took me down a really bad path, as we know with a lot of people that struggle with mental illness, especially when it's not diagnosed, we cope in very poor ways. So drugs, alcohol, sex, they all became part of my coping mechanism. And I just remember approaching my 20s thinking that my life was not turning out the way I had hoped and imagined it would be as a child. I wasn't doing or being who I thought I would be or what I thought I would do. And I realized I had to talk to someone. And, you know, my first diagnosis was not the correct diagnosis. In fact, I had a few diagnoses before we had the correct ones. And that often is what happened, right? So I know it can be discouraging, but if I could encourage you, if you're going through this journey, it's all information and it's all leading you down to the right answer. Sometimes, you know, this is all about detective work. It's not like a blood test you can take. And I was first diagnosed with depression and then a form of depression called dysthymia. And the first bit of medication I got put on was not good. I felt like a zombie. I felt like I wasn't myself. And I decided this is not for me. I'm not doing it again. And I completely shut down on medication, shut down on doctors, and thought I was just going to do this on my own. And I think there's a fear with medication too, that it's going to change me and it's going to do all these things. And certainly if you don't have the right one, that can happen. And again, it's a journey, it's a process. Mm-hmm. And I went untreated for a very long time. And I would have rage attacks, just this overwhelming wanting to not exist, not actively suicidal, but just not wanting to exist, just wanting to disappear. And then I became a mom and I started repeating patterns that had been in my own home, which was traumatic for me. And I realized I had to take control. So I decided to take some depression medicine. And I found one that, you know, didn't make me feel not like myself, but it didn't quite get everything right. It kind of slowed my mind from racing, but it didn't take away this desire to not exist. And through some more, you know, testing and conversations with the doctor, we came up with the bipolar diagnosis, bipolar 2, which lives more in the depressive state than the manic state, which is why it often gets misdiagnosed as depression. And I thought, okay, thank you very much, but no, thank you. I'm going on my way. Mm-hmm. I had a really hard time wrapping my head around bipolar. And I think it was more just not understanding it. And at that point, seeing these labels as identifiers. And I didn't want to be identified as bipolar. You know, it's interesting in the mental illness world, we do this. We don't do this in the physical illness world, right? You don't hear people that have cancer say, I am cancer, or that have diabetes say, I am diabetes. disease, but in mental illness, we take it on as a personality, as an identity. I am bipolar. I am depressed. I am schizophrenic. Like, we take it on as this, who we are. And I didn't want to be that. Mm-hmm. So I said, thank you very much, and went on my way. And then I had a traumatic brain injury, which was my sixth. And there was something about that brain injury that just escalated all my bipolar symptoms. And I realized that I had to address it. I wasn't being the mom I wanted to be. And I didn't want my son to grow up with the trauma of having a sick mom who wasn't taking care of herself. Unlike my mom, where those resources and that knowledge wasn't accessible, I had the knowledge, I had the resources, I just wasn't using them. And I decided that that was being a disservice to my son. And I had to take
responsibility. How old were you at that point?
I was 30, in my 30s, early 30s. Okay. And so I started to do the trial and error of medication with bipolar, because there was some trial and error finding the right ones. Mm-hmm. And I got on the right medication and things seemed to be really stable, except it wasn't perfect. And when I say perfect, nothing's perfect, but there was still this thing going on with me. And more research and more talking. And I got another diagnosis of borderline personality, which seemed to make sense and, you know, connect some of the dots, and, you know, started therapy for that, which has been amazing. And we're still on this journey. My therapist thinks there's still a missing piece. She thinks that I might have ADHD too. So we are doing screening for that next week. Like, it's ongoing. But one thing that I've learned to do is not look at these things as labels, but look at them as data. This is just information that can inform my decisions, that can help me understand myself, that can help me put in the right boundaries and the right tools that I need. Mm-hmm. In understanding the data, it actually sets me up in an environment to thrive, where before I was just surviving.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for saying that. And also that we don't use that with other physical.
No, we don't.
Ailments. We don't call ourselves that. And also, as part of your story, I really appreciate you also saying that you had some injury that exacerbated the symptoms.
Yes.
Because I have found that in my family, a car accident really exacerbated it, or times where we weren't sleeping. So I haven't totally told this on the podcast, but after I had COVID, I had a mental break.
Yeah.
It was 2 months after having COVID. Even when I had COVID, I felt like massive inflammation, just throughout my body, like systemic. I was just like in pain. I wasn't that sick. I was just in pain.
Yeah.
And, about 2 months later was not sleeping. Ended up in the hospital. I mean, it got really, really bad and really, really scary. And when they've asked me all the questions, if I've had other manic episodes of not sleeping and of different things, I said yes, because when I was widowed, when I was 38, I went through a period of trauma and that. And then again, when I had broken my arm, I was on drugs and I never usually, you know, I'm in natural health. I don't take anything. So anytime that I'm on any medications of any kind, it has really messed with my sleep and has created some mild manic episodes.
Yeah. And so, sleep is huge. Sleep is one of the most important things that we need to watch when it comes to mental illness, regardless of the type of mental illness you have. Sleep is a huge way to help manage and stabilize your mental health.
Yeah. So sleep is a perfect segue, because whether I am bipolar, whether I have a mild case, I'm very aware that times of trauma, times of high stress, times of not getting sleep, I am afraid that it's going to happen again. I think that it was COVID related. If you look it up, you can find a lot of people ended up having some type of mental breakdown after having COVID. But I was a self-care coach before this happened. Now I'm like, what's your self-care plan? We all need one. So I can imagine, have you just found what you need for self-care per the data of the diagnosis? Or do you feel like you treat your self-care per the diagnosis, or is it just what you think that you need for you regardless? Does that make sense?
It's a little bit of both. It's a little bit of both. And it doesn't look the same when I am high versus when I'm low. So I kind of have to have two streams. What are my protocols? For the fundamentals, though, faith. I would not be functioning the way I function if I didn't start each day with Jesus. Like, he is my foundation. Now, when I'm doing really well, my morning time with Jesus is in front of my happy light, and I have all the books and the pens and the highlighters, and I pray journal, and I read the Bible, and I do a devotion, and I do worship. When I'm really low, and the thought of getting out of bed is just too overwhelming, my time with Jesus is playing the Bible app and having verses read to me and playing worship music and just lying there and soaking in the love of Jesus has for me. Mm-hmm. So faith is foundational. Next is movement. And again, when I'm doing really well, my movement is a weighted workout that I can discipline myself to do, maybe some HIIT, high intensity stuff. And it's great. When I'm low, I still need movement, but maybe that's a gentle walk outside. Maybe it's, gentle stretching, something that honors my soul and my mind, but is still moving. Movement is so important. Nutrition. Like, we cannot underestimate how impactful what we put in our body is to our mood. So my inclination, whether I'm high or low, is to gravitate towards alcohol. This is a huge stronghold that I'm working through. And so I really need to be mindful of my alcohol intake because it's a depressive. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't go and get loaded, but even one or two glasses can drastically impact my mood the next day. So I have to be mindful of that. Mm-hmm. I have to be mindful of overdoing it on sugary stuff because it comes with a crash. And when you're bipolar and borderline, what just might be a little energy crash for someone who has stability can be a major trigger for depression for me. So I really have to eat balanced whole foods. And that's not to say that there is deprivation. I follow intuitive eating principles, but I stay away from things that aren't going to serve me. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we have to be mindful of. And I take my medication, and I know that that is scary and there's a lot of stigma around that. But if it was not for my medication, I would not be able to maintain the other things I do for my self-care. If it wasn't for my medication, I wouldn't be able to show up for my son the way I do. And so, is medication for everyone? No, maybe you can find other ways around it. But if medication does need to be part of your plan, there's no shame in it. You don't have less faith in Jesus because you take medication. You can take your medication and still pray, right? Like, you can take your medication and still give God the glory, you know?
Well, and I think that's part of that's the hardest part of mental health, is that just like what you said, you don't call someone, you don't label them cancer, you don't label them a tumor. And you also don't shame them for taking medicine or tell them that they can rise above it, or
yeah,
it's so different. And I am a firm believer that we all are on a spectrum of, you know, the Bible says that God wants us to have a sound mind, but we are also in a sinful world where our minds don't work the way that they're always supposed to. And so I think we all, we have a certain degree of something.
And I think too, there's a difference, like we all call it mental health, but there is a difference between mental health and mental illness. Mm-hmm. Just like we all have physical health, we don't all have physical illness. So mm-hmm. someone with mental health will have highs and lows, just like someone with physical health will have a cold sometimes or a flu bug that will go away on its own. When you have a mental health dip, right? Sometimes you do need to check your spirit. Am I not operating in gratitude? Am I doing things like, yes, there can be a spiritual component to that. That's not the same as mental illness. You don't compare a cold with physical health, with cancer in terms of physical illness.
Yeah.
So you can't compare having a sad day with mental health with having a depression and mental illness. And I think sometimes that's where some of the stigma arises. People are like, oh, I've been depressed before. And you know, you just got to change your thoughts. Just stop thinking about it. Well, thank you. If I could stop thinking about it, I would have a long time ago. Thank you for that advice, right?
Yes.
Or I've had well-meaning Christians say, are you getting into the word, dear? How's your prayer life, dear? And you know what? When someone is struggling with their mental health, there can be some truth behind that. How is your time with God? Are you digging into the source of joy and peace and rest? But when it's mental illness, that's a different thing.
That's not
a reflection of your faith at all. It is illness.
Yeah, I love that distinction. That really, really helps. What about what not to say or what to say? Like that was a really good tip. I think that we've been so disrespectful as a culture. I think that we've called someone that's moody bipolar. You know, yeah. I heard she's so bipolar. And now that I have family members that have been diagnosed, it rubs me the wrong way. But even for you, is there something helpful that your friends and your family, what are ways that really help to be supported? And what are some of those things that it was like, if I could preach to the rooftops, please don't say that to me again, what would that be?
You know, for me, I don't love being given the advice. Like when I'm having a down day and someone's like, oh, you know, have a bubble bath or, oh, you know, read the Bible or, oh, I don't appreciate the advice. What I appreciate is when someone holds space for me. I have trusted people in my life that I've asked to remind me of my self-care protocols, like when my nervous system is out of whack and I'm having a BPD moment. One of my skills is to ice my face. That's a DBT skill. It's a coping strategy for borderline that's very effective. I have trusted people to remind me of my protocols. But if you're not in that trusted circle where you have the permission to say, hey, you know, this helps. Have you done that yet? Then your role in my support is not to advise me what to do. It's to hold space for how I am. It's to be like, can I bring you a coffee?
Yeah.
You know, can I just sit with you?
Mm-hmm. The difference of sympathy and empathy, like holding that space.
It's understanding if I don't text you back. It is having grace when I cancel plans last minute.
Yeah.
And not dumping me as a friend because my illness is causing me to struggle.
Mm-hmm. And that's what's so beautiful about the friendships that you can have. You know, I have a friend that'll say, you know, that she said to me, I, as we get into our relationship, I want you to understand that if we have plans and I cancel on you, it is no reflection on you. Kind of like prepared me at the beginning.
Yes.
It's not mental illness. It's an autoimmune disorder, which is really similar. Yes. Like he can wake up and have a bad day and just not be able to show up. And I think that that's so great to just teach people some of the things that you have to encounter. And that way, And that way, because we don't always know what to say, and people didn't know what to say to me when I got out of a mental health facility. They were just like, I had no clue what to say. And I didn't either, at the time, but now I really want people to understand just what you go through and
Yeah, I share a lot on my personal social media. My personal social media is very much mental health focused, and I share in my stories every day the highs and the lows, what protocols I do when I'm low, what protocols I can do when I'm high, but also how do you speak to someone, right? How do you speak to someone that's struggling? And it can be awkward. And I think that the person that's struggling needs to also recognize that people don't know what to say. And I think that we need to have grace with that uncomfortableness that they have too, that when they say something wrong, for the most part, people aren't looking to hurt us. So how can we not be offended? How can we have grace when they're just trying their best? And for the person that's speaking, ask yourself really before you open your mouth, is this helpful? Mm-hmm. Is this love filled? Is this grace filled? Am I speaking from a place of authority on the issue? Because if you haven't walked my shoes with bipolar, then your advice is not helpful. And sometimes it actually feels condemning and judgmental and makes right. me feel like I'm not enough when I'm already battling feeling not enough. Mm-hmm. So just, how are you? How can I help? You know, tell me something great that's going on in your life. Like, the conversation doesn't have to be about me. I've learned at this stage of my awareness of myself and my mental illness that it's going to be a wave. Mm-hmm. The wave will pass. And so maybe distracting me until the wave passes. Tell me a funny story. Tell me what's going on in your life. Like, it doesn't have to be focused on me. And in fact, not being focused on me for me personally is actually better.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. And that's the, I know from a family member's perspective that especially when you just haven't seen someone smile, you just miss them so much. And you just think that if there's anything I could say or do to like, to snap them out of it, you know, you would do anything. Mm-hmm. But we're not to that point anymore with my family member because he has found a better medication, but that was a really, really hard process to find that medication. Do you have any advice for how to find a doctor or what to look for in finding a doctor?
Well, I'm very blessed that I have an amazing medical team, and it's not just a doctor. Like, I have my family doctor, I have my therapist, you know, part of my mental health is going to chiropractor and massage and all these things work in unison mm-hmm. together. But I would say, make sure you're being heard. If you feel like you're not being heard, then that's probably not the right place for you. Mm-hmm. Advocate for yourself. Don't just think that certain side effects are the cost of medication. Maybe there's a medication that will work better for you that will have less side effects. So be open and honest with what you're feeling. If you're feeling like it's not working for you and you want to try something else, advocate for yourself. I think it's helpful if you can have a support person with you to encourage you through advocating. And when you're feeling low and when you're feeling overwhelmed, that they can advocate for you. So someone else who you can trust. For me, I have an incredibly supportive spouse who took some time to like come around to the idea of mental illness, but he was really open to it. He got educated on my illnesses, and he is an advocate for me and a support for me in these times. So, and don't give up. It can be so discouraging when you try a medication and it doesn't work, and then you have to try something else. And there's always like people don't understand like how nerve-wracking it is to like try something new. What's going to happen? Like, you're putting this substance in your body mm-hmm. that, and you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And there's a lot
of, and you don't know what you can plan for. You don't know what you'll do on it. You don't know what the side effects are going to be.
There's a lot of anxiety around it. And every medication has some level of side effect. Like, this is the reality of taking medication for mental illness. I put on 20 pounds. I don't sleep well. I have to like really work on my sleep. And I have other side effects. Now, the ones that I have, and I can't cry. I cannot cry. Even when I really like it would feel therapeutic to cry, I can't cry. Mm-hmm. But the trade-off, my benefit, my cost benefit works for me on this medication. But if the cost benefit is not working for you, then advocate for yourself. Don't get discouraged. There will be something that works, but also know and have a realistic view that medication doesn't make it perfect. Medication is a support. Mm-hmm. It doesn't take away the illness. It doesn't take away the struggle. It supports you in being able to manage through the struggle with success. And I think sometimes people take medication thinking it's going to be a cure-all and are disappointed when they still have to work. Like, I still have to work every day at my mental illness. I still have to do all the right things. And sometimes I get tired. I get tired of fighting the same fight. And it's okay to acknowledge that, right? It's tiring. It is a fight every day. Medication doesn't take away the fight. But it gives you the strength to keep fighting. That's what I found.
Yeah, I love that you said that the medication allows you to do your self-care because you're still holistic. You're not, you know, you're still your whole mind, body, and soul. It's not just your mind that needs healing. We all need all of those things. But especially, you know, with bipolar is the one that I know the most about is so key to do everything that you said. Thank you so much for also teaching that distinction. I think I have used those words, mental health and mental illness, almost interchangeably. And that is really, really wrong. That is such a great, great takeaway. And so tell us where to find you. Whether you have someone with bipolar or not, you get way more from Carla than just mental health talk. So go find her on her social media. So tell them.
Yeah. So you can find me personally at Carla Arges on IG. I share a lot about my mental health and faith there. Affirming Truth is a faith-based podcast really meant to encourage women during their valley seasons, women who are stuck in negative thinking, women who are stuck with habitual guilt and fear and anxiety. I hope to leave you with practical tips that point you to Jesus in how to work through that. And I do it just based on my own experience of walking through trauma and walking through mental illness and seeing the goodness of God show up no matter what. Romans 8:28 is true no matter what. And I cling to that daily. I may not see how God's working, but he's always working. I may not see the plan he has for me, but he has one. And my mental illness does not disqualify me from being used by God. It is something that he is using through me to bring him glory. And so I'm just so thankful that what the enemy wants to use to silence me, God has used in a beautiful way to keep me tethered to him and to point others to him. So your mental illness does not disqualify you.
Absolutely. Amen. I think we need to leave it there. Very well said. Well, thank you so, so much for being on. Jump over and follow her and educate someone, send this episode to somebody who is either struggling or knows someone who is, because having that support and understanding some of just the basics is so helpful for all of us to have more empathy, but also more just love for what we all go through. So thank you for having me. I hope that you are feeling refilled after being at the Well podcast. Please take a second and fill out a review. This is the only way that we know if you're enjoying the podcast and what you're enjoying about it. Also, subscribe so that you don't miss any episodes. And we would love to have you in our Facebook community group. The link is in each episode. We are better together at the Well.